As for the four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. We see here, first of all, in the narrative that the king gave a portion to eat. I want you to recognize here that this really wasn't optional. It was appointed by the king. And as we can see here from the discussion that happened with Daniel and the chief eunuch, that it wasn't really optional, because the chief eunuch goes and says, why would the king want to go in to see your face being sickly and you not being as good as these other people? I mean, if that happens, look, my head is literally on the line. He might chop my head off. And Nebuchadnezzar was never really a super mentally stable guy. He was very much willing to go and chop people's heads off. He was pretty serious here. Now, Daniel's conscience, though, would be defiled. It's likely here that this king's meat, it probably wasn't merely just like pork or something like that, unclean food. It was more likely that this meat was actually sacrificed to idols, an issue that actually comes up once again in the New Testament, right? Comes up again in the New Testament, where it goes and it talks about this idea of meat sacrificed to idols. Is it a sin to eat meat that's sacrificed against idol or sacrificed to idols? No, it's not a sin. But if it defiles your conscience, or if it defiles somebody else's conscience, then there, and you might go and cause them to stumble, then it could be a sin, or it would be a sin if it defiles your own conscience. Do what God is pricking your heart to do. That's specifically what's being talked about here, and I want us to understand that, because this is incredibly important to recognize this. There really was a conscience issue, something that was telling him, don't eat this food. The food, like I mentioned, was probably sacrificed to idols. Daniel didn't feel right about it. And so he purposed in his heart. And this is so key for a religious exemption. A religious exemption should not be because, hey, it's not what I want to do, or it's not what this is coming up here. There really needs to be a purpose in your heart. You really truly need to believe, if you're going to get a religious exemption, that you should not do this, and your heart should be purposed to say, look, if they fire me, if they reject this religious exemption, if they do whatever this, I'm going to accept the consequence. Because your heart should be purposed as Daniel's was. Because your conscience has been pricked and you're saying, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to defile my conscience. It's called, these religious exemptions, a sincerely held belief. You have to prove that you have a sincerely held belief. If you seek a religious exemption, you need to first have purpose in your heart. This is key. But there was a health concern over Daniel's choice. I want us to notice that, because I believe this applies to our time, right? Right, those who have had their hearts pricked, who are deciding not to get the vaccine, what has come up and what is said to you is, don't you know you're putting yourself at risk? And you're putting others at risk as well. But first, you're putting yourself at risk. I want you to notice there was a health concern with Daniel here. In verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king has appointed your food to drink, for why should he see your face looking worse than the other young men who are your age? You're not going to be as healthy. You're not going to be as healthy. That's what's being stated here. I want you to notice something. This did not negate the religious exemption. This did not negate the religious exemption. Rather, Daniel still sought the religious exemption. Daniel's decision also could have endangered others, because that's the other thing that comes up. Don't you know other people will die? Well, that's literally what came to Daniel. And by the way, I'm no scientist, but I am fairly confident in stating this. Decapitation has a higher death rate than COVID. I am confident in saying that. Decapitation has a higher death rate than COVID. What the eunuch was saying was, Daniel, quit thinking of just yourself. My head is going to be chopped off. I am literally going to die. Did this negate the religious exemption? No. You're not called to violate your conscience in concern for others' health. The moral liability would have been on the king, not Daniel. This is important to understand, especially when it comes to sickness and illness and things like that, understand something, of course. There is biological warfare. We're not talking about that. I'm not saying go and intentionally sneeze on people, spit on people, things like that. If you're sick, that's wrong. Then the moral obligation would be on you. You would be in the wrong if you're doing that. This is also why it's important that we obey the principles that are set forth in God's Word, which is for sickness here and contagious sickness. If you're sick, we quarantine the symptomatically sick. Those who are sick, stay home when you're sick. Stay home when you're, it's as simple as it is. Wash your hands. Stay home when you're sick. I'm not saying don't do those things. In fact, I'm saying we need to practice those things. And I would say, look, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. You have no idea how difficult 2020 was for me, because probably my two greatest fears, you know, I'm the guy who goes to the bathroom in public and I'm flushing the toilet with my foot, okay? Like that's how I'm doing it, okay? I don't care how far I got to stretch that foot up there. I'm not touching that, okay? And then they start talking about killer hornets, right? That terrified me half to death. But it doesn't change the obligation to obey God.
Amen.
Trust me, you can ask Sarah. That first week of COVID, while we're sitting out here and we're saying we're going to have church, I'm literally checking my temperature every 15 minutes going, I got COVID. But it doesn't negate obedience to God. And the moral liability would have been on the king, not on Daniel. And there is no moral liability when people get sick and die, because let me tell you here, as somebody who's been a chaplain in a nursing home, somebody who's seen all kinds of death, I've seen people die from the flu. I've seen people die from the common cold. I've seen people, one guy, he was 102 years old, and he looked out and he told people, he said, look, I'm not dying in here and I'm not dying in the hospital. And we're like, well, those are the only two places you ever go. So yeah, chances are you're probably going to go and die that. He died mid-sentence a day later at the doctor's office. No idea as to why. His body was in good health. He was just getting a good checkup. And he just, it was his time to go. So long as we're not talking about biological warfare here, the sickness, it's not on you if it's spread in that way. It's not a moral responsibility in that sense. And you're not called to violate your conscience in order to uphold the safety of others in that way. Today, as long as we're adhering to biblical principles, we're not morally liable. It does mean we need to uphold these biblical principles. We can't be flippant. If you're sick, stay home. But ultimately, God not only allowed, but he honored Daniel's decision. In verses 15 through 17, it says this, "And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine and that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables. As for these young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." When we see this idea here, we see that God does bless obedience. It may manifest itself physically, it may not manifest itself physically, but for sure we do know that he does bless obedience. And if God is pricking your conscience, you need to obey God. You need to obey God. When it comes to this idea of religious exemptions, I hope that you've seen today that it is a biblical idea. And by the way, these have existed, predated the coronavirus. I've written them before the coronavirus vaccine came out. And this is important for us to recognize and to realize this. To not violate our conscience because of a pressure from a world comes pressing upon us. And this is the conclusion that I want to leave us with. And this is the first two paragraphs of the religious exemption that I write. It says this, "It has been the orthodox position of Christians to recognize that God created four great governments, civil, ecclesiastical, family, and self. We recognize that these governments all have a limited scope. We believe that each of these governments should be obeyed to the fullest extent when they are within their designated scope, and that Christians should be exemplary in their behavior concerning all four governments. We also believe that Christians have no responsibility to obey any government outside of the scope that has been designated by God. Concerning vaccines, we sincerely believe and hold that vaccines are a matter of individual conscience, and it is outside the scope of civil government or any corporation to force any vaccine or injection upon an individual. We also recognize that some vaccines may be created with unethical means by exploiting the life of the preborn through the use of human diploid cells. For this reason, we declare that it would be a violation of conscience and religious liberty for any government official, agency, or corporation to require or force a vaccination without permitting an exemption for those whose conscience is hindered in any way by the vaccine or injection, including the COVID-19 vaccine in any of its forms. Today, as we go from here, I hope that we leave having a healthy conscience. If your conscience is pricked, I want to encourage you, get a religious exemption, but purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart to stand firm if God is pricking your conscience. I also want to remind us of this. God gave the civil government a sword. He didn't give them a syringe. Your individual health is not the responsibility of civil government. That's your responsibility. That's self-government. You need to do what God is telling you to do, how He's pricking your conscience. And so you need to stand firm and stand up. And when people come out and they say, look, religious exemption shouldn't exist, say, actually, they should. And this is the orthodox position. It's interviewed by KWWL a few days ago. And they didn't air this part, but they asked me the question, you know, how do you feel being in the minority, having this minority of a position? And this is how I answered this. And I want to remind you of this. I said, I may be in the minority of pastors today, but if you look at the scope of all throughout history of the Christian church, I'm in the majority. Move from truth. We stand on truth. We let the culture blow as it may, but we are anchored to the Word of God. So today, as we conclude, I want to challenge you to resist tyrants, first of all, but most importantly, remember to obey God and do what He is calling you to do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank You for this day and thank You for the opportunity given us to come and to worship You. What a privilege that is, Father. Lord, we would just pray that we would have healthy consciences before You, Father, and Lord, that how You are pricking our hearts, that we would obey You in that. And Father, we would just pray that this might be to Your will, not ours. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.